many, many times before, but because of all this COVID-19 madness, we haven't had the chance to have him on yet this year. Ryan Mitchell, the voice of the Columbus Clippers, joining us right now. Ryan, always a pleasure, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing about as well as can be expected. Hope you guys are doing well there up on the lake. And staying healthy, of course, is primary in this day and age, but there are certainly a lot of adverse effects to the sporting world going on due to COVID-19, are there not?
Yes, there are plenty. And the news that came down yesterday, albeit very much expected, still doesn't take away from the pain that it causes with the cancellation of the minor league baseball season. And I want to get your thoughts on how you think this is going to affect certain teams in the International League. But first, you know, from an economic perspective, what kind of hit are the Clippers taking as a result?
Well, like every other team in all of minor league baseball, essentially, there's no income. Unlike, and everybody's heard this ad nauseum, I'm sure. This is nothing new for your listeners, but the major leagues always had a plan to play, and they could do that without fans in the stands due to their media rights deals and merchandising and things like that, which bring in the best number that I have seen, almost half of their revenue, or somewhere in the neighborhood of half of the revenue for the season comes in from those sources, whereas in the minor leagues, it's closer to 90% of the revenue comes in from the gate, from ticket sales, from concessions, from merchandise purchase at the ballpark, things of that nature. So when you lose the vast majority of your revenue stream, it just isn't feasible to put games on. Teams would just lose money every time they had a game. You've got to turn the lights on. For a lot of places, that's $500 to $1,000 every single day just to flip that switch and put the lights on at the ballpark. And you still have to have some level of security personnel on site. You have to feed the players. There are things that go on. And obviously, there are a lot of employees that you have to have, which a lot of teams don't right now due to furloughs and layoffs and things like that. So the Clippers are just like every other team. They're going through what's now going to be a full season without really any source of revenue. So the decision was a foregone conclusion to not have minor league baseball this year. But it's going to affect more than just this year going forward. You talk about teams that have a big season ticket base. If that money had already been collected, you've got to figure out something to do, either in the terms of refunds or in credits for next season. If credits for next season happen, those are tickets that are already bought and paid for that you can't sell in 2021. So there is going to be pain felt all around minor league baseball from AAA down to the lowest levels, which may or may not exist come 2021 for, you know, 40-plus teams if the deals that have been talked about before this COVID thing ever happened come to fruition.
And we'll come around to that in a few moments, but I want to expand this to the International League. You talked about the economic perspective, the hit that the Clippers and many other teams are going to take. But, you know, how much do you think this will affect a lot of other teams in the International League? Have you heard much from other radio guys around the league and what they're thinking about how this is going to affect them, not through the rest of 2020, but also expanding that to 2021 and beyond?
There's just so much that isn't known that you can't predict. I mean, this entire thing is an unknown, unpredictable thing, right? But and I've kept in touch with several of the guys around the International League, and that's, you know, obviously missing the game of baseball is a huge, huge factor. But you also miss getting to see the guys that you only get to see a couple of times a year and share the stories and create new stories as well. But there is a lot of essentially uncertainty. In AAA baseball, in the International League, along with the Pacific Coast League, you have probably the largest percentage on the league basis of teams that are in pretty good financial situations. The attendance is higher in AAA than in any other league. So a lot of these teams may have some cash reserves on hand to weather this storm in a way that some others couldn't. With bigger ballparks, you have more wall space for advertising and things of that nature. There have been a couple of teams over the years that have had some issues with finances and things like that, where they've had to, you know, redo stadium naming rights deals or got some help from their municipalities and things like that. I don't know that anybody is in dire straits necessarily in the International League. That, of course, the term that Pat O'Connor used the president of Minor League Baseball yesterday during his conference call that Minor League Baseball may be in dire straits here. But I think you're looking at individual teams probably in the lower levels of the minors, maybe some in Double A. But by and large, I think the International League particularly is, I don't want to speak for these teams, but they're probably best equipped to weather something like this and come through on the other side with something that looks like normalcy. Now, the one thing that will be very abnormal, and it's really a shame for the people of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, they're not going to get to have their last season of Paul Sox baseball. It was well known. Obviously, the deal had already been done. They're working on a new ballpark in Worcester, Massachusetts, and the Red Sox AAA team was going to be moving to Worcester to become the Woo Sox. And Pawtucket was going to have, they've had baseball there at McCoy Stadium for a long, long time. They were going to have their swan song in 2020, and now they're not going to get that opportunity. So for them and those other teams that we're going to talk about in a little while, I'm sure, they didn't get to say goodbye to baseball, which is really, really a tough thing for those communities. And I'm going to miss going to McCoy Stadium. It was a really unique place to watch baseball, to call baseball. And it's going to be missed.
Well, expanding on that a little bit and kind of going back to our conversation about what minor league baseball will look like moving forward, you kind of alluded to it there a little bit. The landscape of minor league baseball as a whole will certainly look different, whether that's with reduced teams or what have you. What other kind of changes could minor league baseball see as a whole? I know something me and Bull have talked about is maybe, you know, geographically changing around divisions a little bit to make teams closer to each other to reduce that travel. What's your take on that?
Well, it's easy to say. It makes a lot of sense, but it's tougher to do in reality. It's one of those theory versus reality things, right? It would be great in theory to have the Tennessee AAA baseball teams in Memphis and in Nashville be in the same league with Louisville and Indianapolis and Columbus and Toledo. Right? Instead of going out to Tacoma, Washington, or to Fresno, California. That makes sense on paper. But then you have to shift two teams to the International League. Now it becomes a 16-team league. How do you divvy that up geographically? Because if you have four-team divisions, well, Toledo and Columbus just got kicked out of that one, and you have to get put with somebody else that's not as close to them as Indianapolis and Louisville are. So you're basically kind of playing a shell game when you talk about things like that. Now, there were some plans, there are thoughts. I'm sure that the minor league baseball offices and the offices for the International League and the Pacific Coast League have drawn out plans for 100 different scenarios. There are teams that could jump leagues, jump levels maybe. Dayton has tremendous attendance. They've got a very nice ballpark. They would fit very nicely into the footprint of the International League. But are the other amenities, the player amenities, up to AAA standards? I don't know. I have not toured the facilities there in Dayton to be able to tell you if they are on a par with what I see around the International League. There was some talk of some independent teams, the Sugar Land Skeeters, which are in the Atlantic League, and the St. Paul Saints of the American Association. Those are two independent teams. They may be moving to AAA baseball, and there was some talk that maybe Fresno would be a team that would be eliminated. And obviously, if you bring two in, you've got to take some out. Baseball America had a story the other day about some other potential independent league franchises that may move to AAA. It could change the landscape quite a bit. But I don't know, from an international league perspective at least, there aren't many candidates for being dropped. Really, I mean, you think about some of the smaller cities in the International League. Toledo's one of the smallest cities. They've got great attendance. They've got a wonderful ballpark, and they're the Mud Hens. I mean, that's an institution. So there really aren't a whole lot of things in the International League where I could say, yeah, that team could probably go. So when you talk about minor league realignment, the major league teams definitely would like to have at least their AAA affiliates, if not the lower levels as well, within a stone's throw, geographically speaking, of the home ballpark. Now, the Clippers are lucky that the Cleveland Indians are close by. The trend has been to get geographically closer over the years, but in some cases, you can't do it. I mean, when you talk about the Chicago teams, you know, you've got Iowa, you've got Indianapolis. Those are maybe the closest, but the Chicago White Sox have been affiliated with the Charlotte Knights down in North Carolina for a long, long time, and that has worked for them. So So you have to look at the national map and footprint and see if you can make it happen. Now, one of the other things that's been talked about is major league teams maybe having an interest in purchasing more minor league teams to have more control over the situation. And again, these are all kinds of things that a rather contentious negotiation between minor league baseball and major league baseball were trying to hash out before COVID-19 hit and just threw everything into a tizzy. And those talks have basically stopped as major league baseball has tried to figure out how to get its season underway. I don't know when they're going to resume, and I certainly don't know what's going to be the fallout when they finally get back to the table.
Again, we're speaking with Ryan Mitchell, voice of the Columbus Clippers. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. One more thing to touch on there, because you mentioned a bunch of interesting scenarios with some potential single and double A teams making the jump, and I'm sure that's going to have a reverse effect with some of the teams that are triple A teams now maybe dropping down, if that's a possibility. There are just so many different scenarios and so many darts being thrown at this point too. But the reality here is that there are going to be some towns that are either going to lose baseball entirely or they're going to experience it in a much, much different form and fashion. Now, Ryan, before you took the job with the Columbus Clippers, you, of course, held that very same post as the voice of the Chillicothe Paints. So you've been around some small towns, and you've been around some of these small markets, many of which are going to lose baseball. I just want to give you a chance to talk about that, because I think we look at this on paper and we think, okay, you know what, no big deal. One city loses it, another city gains it. But these towns, especially in the summer, are just so firmly entrenched in baseball, and to many people in those towns, it's become a culture, it's become a way of life, and you know, it's just heartbreaking to see that so many towns are going to lose that.
Yeah, and something you said there, one town loses it means another town gains it. That has been the case for a long, long time. Minor league owners and ownership groups have said, hey, if we can't get what we need in this town, maybe we'll go pull up stakes and go to another town that maybe will give us a little bit better deal on what we need. I don't know that that is actually going to apply in this particular case, because what's going to happen is these minor leagues, affiliated minor leagues, are just going to go away if Major League Baseball has their way with contracting 42 teams. The short season leagues are going to go away. They're talking about having four levels of the minor leagues, you know, low A, high A, double A, and triple A, and everything else will be handled at the team complexes in spring training cities. So those teams that do go away, and whether it's 40 or 20 or whatever the case may be, they have a plan in place. Major League Baseball proposed a plan that basically said, hey, these teams and these communities will still have baseball. It will just be a different look. It will be essentially independent teams that are sort of co-sponsored maybe by Major League Baseball as an entity, and then players could be plucked from those teams if teams are interested in signing them. That, as you said, for 6 years, I was in independent baseball. I know you've had a lot of experience with independent baseball. The teams that are currently operating in a lot of these small markets are able to do so because of the professional baseball agreement that provides players at no salary or benefits cost to the minor league teams. If they have to take on signing their own players, paying their own players, carrying the benefits and insurance for those players, a lot of these teams just are not going to be able to make it work. And as a result, baseball in those communities will go away, and it's not going to crop up somewhere else. It's just going to go away. So there's going to be less baseball overall. And really one of the things that concerns me as a baseball man is those kinds of communities are where the love of baseball grows from. When there's no major league team around, the local team is the team that gets people interested in baseball and grows them into baseball fans that then can graduate into some sort of a major league fan, whether it's the nearest team or if you're, say, the Pioneer League up in Montana and that area of the country where there's no major league baseball, there's no triple A baseball. These small town teams create baseball fans. And if these types of teams go away, my concern is that the fandom of baseball is going to wither and die in those areas because there's just nothing local for them to see. You can watch on TV all you want, But the ballpark experience is part of being a baseball fan. And if you can't enjoy that experience without a 6 or 8 or 10 hour drive, growing baseball is not going to be an easy task.
Bingo. And that's something that we talked about at the beginning of the show. I mean, that small market feel in those towns where, again, the closest Major League Baseball facility might be 4, 5, maybe 6 hours away. That's where I think baseball really hurts itself if it decides to continue down this current path. But, you know, yesterday's news, tough for everybody. And, you know, certainly we hope that this virus will somewhere in the near future reach the end of its course so we can get back to playing some more baseball. And hopefully, Ryan, the next time we have you on, we're talking about the resumption of high school wrestling and maybe the beginning of some baseball as well later on down the line. But as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. We always enjoy the insight, and we hope that you and yours are staying safe and you have a great holiday weekend.
All right, guys. Same to you. Thank you very much. Talk to you anytime.
Thanks, Ryan. Again, that's Ryan Mitchell, voice of the Columbus Clippers.